Something I didn't mention is we're obtaining a lot of new people. And Alan, if you want to put up that slide that shows our text message, if you guys would like to be on our text chain, which is where a lot of the information comes through, and you're not, you can just text JOIN to this number, 970-585-7264. And so if you're not on that, I would highly recommend getting on that just so you know things that are happening. And so there's that. All right. So we are continuing on our series on James. It's been awesome. I love this book. We have one more message. So even though we're at the end of James, we had to adjust the teaching team around a little bit. So we're going to have one more in James 3 next week. So this is not the last one, just so you're not confused next week. So we're in James 5, and I'm going to read this, and then we're going to pray, okay? So if you want to turn with me in your Bibles or your phones to James 5, 13, and we're going to read through 18. Starting in verse 13, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Let's pray. Well, Jesus, we thank you that you're good, that you're holy, and we desire for your presence this morning. We desire for your kingdom to come. As we study the scriptures, we desire that it would be in us, that the truth of the word would affect our spirits, would affect our souls. So would you go before us? Would you bless this time? Bless our ears that they'd be opened here with a spirit of saying. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, we're going to break this scripture down, and we're going to be talking through prayer. We're going to be talking through the joyfulness of singing. We're going to be talking about holiness and the prayer of faith. So again, in 13, it starts out, as anyone among you suffering, let him pray. So we've talked through in this series who we think James is. So James, the brother of Jesus, is who we think wrote this book. And he wrote it, obviously, after Jesus passed, and it parallels a lot of what happens in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew. And so with that being said, what I want to do is I want to touch on, well, what prayer is. So a lot of times in our lives, when we hear this verse of, if anyone's suffering, pray, what I have thought in the past is, well, if I'm suffering with someone coming against me or financial woes or whatever, my prayer is going to be, God, save me from this. I am going through this hard thing, and I need you to get me out of this. Or, Lord, do this. Or, Lord, do that. But if we look back to the contextual version of what Jesus calls his disciples into prayer, it's a vastly different thing. Okay? So let's turn to Matthew 6, and we're going to read through the Lord's Prayer, which I'm sure a lot of people know, and I want to recall that back and make it a practical thing for you guys in the midst of suffering. So Matthew 6, and we're going to start in verse 5. And again, this is in the Sermon on the Mount. So Jesus says, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, And when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things you have need before you even ask him. So he knows before we even give prayer to God, I need this, or God, do that, right? So in this manner, I want you to pray. This is what Jesus is teaching. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And in verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Okay, so let's break this down a little bit. So what Jesus is saying is, first off, don't pray like these guys over here, because they're going to stand on the street corner, they're going to use fancy words, they're going to do vain repetition. And what he's saying is, he's not saying that repetition is wrong. He's saying vain repetition is wrong. It's from a different place in our lives, that we're doing it out of selfish ambition instead of desiring to encounter the Lord and his character and his desire. So he lines up after he says, don't be do vain repetition. Here's a model prayer that a lot of people do vain repetition, right? But let's break down what it's actually saying. So the prayer starts out acknowledging Father, okay? And in Jewish culture, and still to this day, there's a prayer called, let's just take an example, the Shema. And what the Shema is a prayer that Jewish people say before they go to sleep. It's basically a prayer of, if I die in my sleep, I'm praying for my salvation so that Adonai doesn't abandon me, okay? So, but the words that they use is Adonai, okay? It's a reverent name that they talk about to the Lord, because they can't say Yahweh, the true name of the Lord. And so Jesus, throughout the scriptures, uses this intimate name. And what he's saying is, I am intimate with you because I call you Adonai, Yahweh, Father. So the acknowledgement first is, I know you intimately, Father, and holy is your name. And again, it's like, well, he doesn't even say his name. He says Father. He says Abba. But he's still saying, I know you, and I am going to acknowledge you as you are holy, that you are worthy, that you are good and faithful. And before we even bring what we're suffering about before the Lord, it's, hold on just a second, make sure you know who you're talking about, and that you acknowledge the holiness and the beauty and the goodness of that person. Get it away from yourself and that selfish ambition, and acknowledge the Father, the King of the universe, because he is holy. Has anyone seen The Chosen? I think I've talked about it every time I preach. I love that series, just because for me, I'm a very visual person, and I can connect so much deeper with the scriptures when I see it. And one thing early on, I think it was in season one, it shows some of the disciples, and when they go to bed, specifically Peter, he does this version of the Shema, which has encountered and impacted my life so much. And it says, blessed are you, O Lord, King of the universe, for you give sleep to my eyes and slumber to my eyelids. And in the morning when they wake up, they say a very similar prayer. Blessed are you, O Lord, King of the universe, for you give strength to my bones and breath in my lungs. And so what that does, it's no longer vain repetition when we believe it and it's in the secret place. When it's in the whispers that we wake up and we say, God, I'm suffering, but blessed are you, because you're King of the universe. No matter what's happening in our nation or the world, the acknowledgement is, first, in suffering that we encounter who he is and we acknowledge his holiness. So I want to encourage you guys to do that. Again, in the secret place of your room, with your spouse, alone, with your kids, whatever that looks like to you, is acknowledging his goodness in the repetition that makes sure that it gets in the depth of your heart. So then it goes on, that your kingdom come and your will be done. So we acknowledge his goodness, we acknowledge his holiness, and then we go in of before my will and what I need, I want your kingdom to come and I want your will to be done. So I want to get off of my worldly things and I want to say, God, I want to know what you want. And that it would happen here on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, so we're bringing that back of the start of a prayer is acknowledging, it is saying, I want your will, and I want that to be done here on earth. And then we're going to go into, all right, now this is what I need. This is my suffering. Give us today our daily bread. Okay, you wouldn't ask for it if you have it. But there's this thankfulness that we walk in our prayers that when we make our petitions known for the Lord, it's much after that. And then we go into thankfulness of give us what we need today and forgive us of our debts and forgive our debtors and lead us not into temptation. So there's all of these things that you would pray in your suffering, but it's only after that acknowledgement. And then the prayer ends off acknowledging him again for yours. So Abba, for yours is the kingdom. For yours is the power and the glory forever. So instead of, God, I need you and I just need you now. Amen. Okay. Sometimes that happens. I pray that often and I catch myself often of my prayers are not aligned with the Spirit of God because I'm not acknowledging or giving him place to speak into my suffering. I'm just telling him that I suffer. He already knows, guys. The prayers are like, why would we even pray? He already knows. He wants us to pray to acknowledge him and to invite him in to the scenario we're at. Okay, so that's the suffering and letting us enter into that prayer. So then it goes on in verse 13, is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. In some of your Bibles, it's gonna say, is anyone thankful? Let him lift a joyful noise to the Lord. And so what I think about this and this whole list that James is bringing out is what he is inviting us into in this scripture is take stock of where you're at. If you are suffering, take stock of that and enter into prayer. If you are cheerful and thankful, take stock of that and be cheerful. Sing songs to the Lord. Give him praise. And I think a lot of times what we do as believers, let me rephrase that. A lot of times what I do as a son of God is when I am cheerful, I will diminish that cheer because I'm like, man, I know that there's people suffering out there. And so I'll try to have this self-righteousness instead of acknowledging what the Lord is doing in my life that I'm like, well, I shouldn't be that happy because, you know, this is happening bad or that's happening bad. It's no. If you are cheerful, give praise to the Lord. If you are suffering, encounter the Lord in prayer. And so there's this invitation of take stock where you're at and be okay with that and move in righteousness. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. All right. This is an interesting one. And Breezy and I were talking about it a little bit last night. And there are many different ideas around this verse. You have one camp where they're saying, if you have to have healing in the church, it can only be ministered through the elected elders of the church, and it has to be done with this oil, and it has to be done. So there's all of these things, that there's a list. If you want to be healed, this is it, right? Because of this verse, they take this verse and they stretch it to the umpteenth. And then you have these other people, they don't even believe in healing. And then you have another group where it's like, well, that's kind of, yeah, it's okay. Really, anybody can heal. And I think what this is saying and what James is pointing to is the elders represent mature, righteous believers. Okay? Because if you go back to the Gospels, when Jesus commissioned his disciples, he didn't commission them to heal or deliver until he sat underneath his teaching and they became mature believers in Jesus. They knew who he was. And then they could walk out this healing. That was the commission. Now, it can happen. We see that throughout the scriptures of you can heal and you can deliver outside of intimate, mature knowledge of Christ, but there is no relationship in that. So I think what he's talking about is make sure when you are going for healing, find a mature believer that you know walks in righteousness, that has a intimate relationship with the Lord, that knows the scriptures, and engage in that in healing. Have that relationship that you're going deep, that you're seeking out the mature believer. And why that's important is I think it's more for the sake of the person praying for healing more than for the person receiving healing. Right? Because as we get into that place of, Lord, I healed all these people in your name. I did all these miracles in your name. He says, I never knew you. And so for we as believers, if we're engaging in that, of drawing people out that are not ready to engage in healing and the power that comes from the Holy Spirit, we are doing them a disservice because they don't know or walk with Jesus. And I think we can see that because we'll know them by their fruit. So if you are asking someone that does not have the fruit of the Spirit to pray for your healing, you're doing them a disservice. Not that they can't operate in that gift. Not that Jesus doesn't love them. But we are asking them to do something that is a potential for them to stumble. And that's our, and I just want to be very clear about this. The restoration, the leadership here at this church, our position on healing is that it is a gift that's freely given by the Holy Spirit. You don't have to be an elder. You don't have to go through a certain amount of classes. You don't have to check a box. But the encouragement is that when you're in this place, make sure that you are doing right by your brother and asking for prayer from a mature believer. All right, let's keep going. Verse 15, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So the word that's used here when it's talking about that healing and the forgiveness of sin is sozo. Has anyone heard that word before? Okay, so Bethel out of Redding, California, that their healing ministry is called sozo. That's probably where you've heard that a lot. And the reason that they call it that is the belief of the word sozo is when you are healed, there is a whole healing if we enter into that place with the Holy Spirit. And we're encountering the fullness of that. And let me see if I can get the thing. So the actual word, the Greek word sozo, in the meaning is to save, to heal, make whole, and deliver. Okay? So, and you see that a lot, like you'll see in Matthew 9, you see in Luke 5, that sometimes Jesus, when he's healing people with physical ailments, like in Matthew 9, he says, your sins are forgiven before he says, be healed. And then the man is healed. And so he uses that intertwining that when Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, healed someone, and they received it, there was a receiving of forgiveness of sin, and that they could walk in that fullness. And so that's what he's talking about here is, hey, I don't want, as believers of Christ, I don't want you guys to just heal the body. I also don't want you guys just to heal the soul. I also don't want you to just move in the salvation. I want it all. I want the fullness of healing to walk out in the encounters that you guys have. So through my study in this scripture, I stumbled across a verse that I've read probably 1,000 times. And I'm going to read it this morning, and I'm going to give my opinion. But I just want to be clear that I don't know. And I'm curious to hear people's thoughts on this. So let's turn to John 20. So John 20 is set after Jesus died, got crucified, rose from the grave, and he is presented himself in front of the apostles, okay? And so this is when he is commissioning them out. This is the first time after that he has that forgiveness of sin on the cross that he's calling them into this. So he's talking through this, peace be with you, peace be to you. And he's saying, as the Father has sent me to earth, I am now sending you. And the context is in the power of everything that I have. And then in verse 23, so this is John 20, 23. It says, if you, talking to disciples, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. But if you retain the sins of any, they are retained. And so what Jesus is alluding to, and I think saying, is that there is, as Jesus forgave the sins through healing, he's saying, hey, I paid the price. I've done that. I've done the work of the cross. And now I am empowering you to go forth in sozo, to go forth in full healing. So as you are healing people that desire to have a bodily healing or a situational healing, part of that is the forgiveness of sin. Guys, that's a lot, right? That's a lot of power and a lot of responsibility that we are to walk in that, because it's, hey, you have the power to forgive people's sins because of the cross, but also if you hold unforgiveness in your heart, it will be held against that person. Dang. Right? So this week, it's kind of a big deal in our country that we had an election that there was a lot of people that were nervous. And what I saw, because I have friends that are on the left that are believers. I have friends on the right that are believers. And mostly what I saw out of those two camps when interacting with one another is there was unforgiveness and there was hatred. And they both felt like they were right. They're like, how dare you fill in the blank? How dare you fill in the blank? You don't care about these people. Well, you don't care about this. And so there was this thing that happened, that there was unforgiveness. And what we as believers don't realize is if we hold unforgiveness in our hearts, it is held against them until judgment day. Okay? And so when there's offense in our hearts, and that's part of what we're going to be doing today, is we're going to ask the Lord in ministry time to reveal these things to us. But I am telling you right now, if you are one of these people that raged against the other side, there is a deep repentance that has to happen. There is no way around it. If we have held that forgiveness in our hearts, or even the sly jokes that we've made, I am totally guilty of it, guys. I've been there. I probably did it this week. But for me, the Lord has brought that of, you have got to have this forgiveness of others, and they will be free. If we desire for them to be free, we have to have that forgiveness, okay? The sozo, the fullness of healing, we have that power as believers in Jesus because he paid it on the cross. So James, this whole book, talking about mature believers, And I'm, you know, I know that there's people that are just starting their walk, and so I don't want this to be a discouragement to you, but James was written for the mature believers. And so if there's parts of this that rub you the wrong way, it's probably time to take stock in what the Lord is speaking to you, and the ask from the Lord is, Lord, reveal the areas where I'm not mature and I'm not refined, and I want you to touch those things so that I can walk in the fullness of your power. Okay, let's go on to verse 17. So Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. So talking about the human nature that we walk in. He wasn't this God prophet. He wasn't totally perfect. He was an imperfect man. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain in the land of Israel for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again after that 3 years and 6 months, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. So Elijah, and I don't know how many of you guys know his story, so this is in 1 Kings, and it's chapter 17, 18, and 19. And we're not going to read that whole thing, so I'll just kind of give you a summary. So Ahab took over as king of Israel from his father, Omri. And he was not a great dude. He walked in sin, and then he married Jezebel, which was, there's another country, and that king was a king priest. So it was a very unrighteous nation that worshiped the god Baal. And so she came in, sacrificed all of Israel's prophets. Elijah ran, and he hid, but he promised Ahab before he left that it will not rain in this land until I say it's going to rain. Okay? So Elijah, a man like us, walked in righteousness, but the directive that he had for this was not out of selfish ambition. He wasn't mad that his political party didn't get into office. He was mad that there was a people that ruled other people that claimed that our God, the God of Israel, the God of Jacob, had no power there. And so he had a righteous cause based in holiness. And he partnered with that, and the Lord gave him power to shut up the heavens. That Elijah encountered the God's heart in this. That I'm shutting up this rain because I believe that holiness needs to go forth in this land. And God, your judgment may it be. Everyone suffered, guys. In that prayer, it wasn't like, you know, Elijah was not still living in the land. Yes, he got fed by the ravens, and God brought him water and all this. Yes, he was taken care of, and we as believers will be taken care of. But it's not going to be easy. When the Lord encounters us in the place of his holiness, and we have a prayer that goes forth and says, Rory, I want to give you this prayer, and I want you to commit to it. I want you to have fervent prayer because of my holiness. And when we do that, it's going to be uncomfortable, but that's our call as believers that are sent out if we are commissioned by God. Otherwise, we're just playing the game. But this is our call, is to walk in righteousness. So again, this prayer, when the Lord gives it to us, if it's in selfish ambition, if you can tie it to selfish ambition, maybe reconsider it. I'm not saying always, but I'm saying maybe reconsider it. Unless it's rooted in the holiness of our Father. So my encouragement today is to take stock and where we're at. If we are suffering, walk in prayer. If we are thankful and cheerful, walk in psalms, in singing, and praising the Lord. When I read that, I think of Jim McKimmy, and every time you say, hey to Jim McKimmy, how are you today, brother? Man, he always has this praise, and I believe it because Jim walks, and if he is cheerful, he's going to walk in that. And that's good. That's what we need to do. It's taking stock and knowing where you're at and speaking that forth. And the second encouragement that I have for you guys is to walk in holiness and to allow the Lord. And we're going to take some time just a second after I tell the story that I want you guys to close your eyes, and I want the Holy Spirit to speak to areas where we have lost our way in holiness and righteousness. And we're going to have ministry time to do that today. So this happened to me and my family a couple months ago. And this was, I think it was the week that I was approved to be an elder. And my prayer to the Lord was, Lord, reveal the things that are dark in my life. I want to see them, and I want you to call them out so that we can deal with them. So I woke up. I work out with a group of guys 4 days a week, and so I woke up at 5 a.m. I'm a little tired, and I'm getting ready. And in my bathroom, it's connected to my closet, and so I'm getting ready. And out of the corner of my eye, I see a spider, and it's probably about this tall. I see the legs of a spider crawling out of my closet, and I looked away, and then it vanished. And I'm like, man, that's a weird dream. And so then I asked the Lord, I'm like, Lord, what was that? Did you give me eyes in the spirit realm to see what was happening? And the Lord started speaking to me about what that was. And so there was a demon in my closet. And the spider, what that represents is the spirit of witchcraft, which we've talked about a lot this year, the spirit of pornography, and the spirit of lust. That's what the spider represents. And so for me, there was a conviction of, I have let the door open because of my unrighteousness and the struggles that I have as a man. I have let something into my house that is ruling and reigning. My oldest son, he's been having nightmares of spiders for like 9 months. My wife as well, she's had nightmares of spiders most of her life. And so there was this prevalent thing in my house that me as the man of the house let in. And the Holy Spirit, in his goodness, because I asked, he says, here it is. What are you going to do about it? And so 5:30 in the morning, I text my bros. I text the other elders. I text the men that I run with that can handle this, that they know my story. And I said, guys, here's what's going on. I got this thing in my house, and I'm not accepting it. Not anymore. And so they came over at lunch, and we started praying. And I felt like this was before the Lord kind of gave me the name of this demon, of the spirit of witchcraft and lust and all this. And we're praying, and the Holy Spirit brings to mind the name of this spirit. And so I start speaking it out, and immediately my throat, a hand comes on my throat and squeezed it to where I couldn't speak anymore. And the Holy Spirit gave me the utterance to actually speak out and call out the spirit that was affecting my kid, my wife, my life. And so we prayed against it, and I said, guys, the house is yours. Pray through. I want you guys to look. I want you to pray and seek the Lord at what else is happening. And so they prayed through the house. And I felt like it wasn't done. And so Breezy got home later that night. And we put the kids to bed. And I told her kind of about the day and what happened. And there was this moment of forgiveness that I'm like, I confessed my sins to my wife. I confessed my sins to my brothers. And then my brothers forgave and prayed over me. My wife prayed over me. And as I was speaking this out of confessing my sin to my wife, that hand came back and started squeezing my throat again. As we were talking, and I was like, hey, babe, I don't want you to freak out. I just want to let you know that I think there's a demon squeezing my neck right now. I was like, I'd really like you to pray over me because I think that the Lord has given you power to break this. And guys, she came over, and I'm sitting on the couch, and she puts her hand on me, and immediately that hand lifted and I could breathe again. We haven't had a bad dream in our house. It's been peaceful. There's just this noise that I've had my whole life in my mind, and it hasn't been there in 2 months. Praise the Lord. That is sozo, but we have to encounter it. That's freaky, guys. That's a weird story, right? This isn't like coffee conversation that we're talking about, but we live in a spiritual world, and we live in the place where demons exist. And the demonic is raging against us, and there are traps around every corner. There is addiction that should not and will not be in this place. Addiction is broken off. The addiction of pornography, of alcohol, of drugs, it is not here in Restoration Fellowship because we desire holiness as a body, and we pray the hard prayers of God, reveal what's in my house and surround me with the family to get it out. Amen? Okay. So here's what we're going to do. Matt, I want you to come up and play. And we're going to do that, okay? We're going to take some time. I want everyone, get comfortable, but I would prefer if you guys stand up. If you're feeling a tug from the Lord, I want you to come up. And ministry team, I want you to be up here. And we're a little short this morning. So, George, would you mind, George and Jan, if you guys can come up? And then my other ministry team come up. Breezy, if you wouldn't mind. And if you guys feel that, just go ahead and come up. But I want you guys to close your eyes where you're at, and I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, reveal the area in my life that I need to deal with. Reveal the sin that I have committed. Even if it's this week, reveal the sin. If I have come against you, God, and talking illy against someone this week in America, in my family, reveal that to me.